Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we are opening the lines to find out what you want to hear on the show in the coming months. We would love to hear from you to find out what you're thinking about this moment we are in, what you want from a show like this, and just the topics that you're thinking about. How has your media diet changed over the years? Because so much in the media is changing so quickly. We would love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We also want to acknowledge that we know so many of the shows we did last year were very intense. The news came at us and it felt like whiplash, and a lot of it was so dark. And I just want to share a personal story because we're affected by this just as you are. About 2 or so months ago, I started feeling kind of dizzy on a fairly regular basis. It wasn't the kind of dizzy that you feel when you don't eat on time or when you just feel out of it. And so I went to the doctor. And it was so interesting because she did a lot of tests and she asked me a lot of questions. And then she asked me what I do for a living. And at that time, I had been watching a lot of ICE raids and ICE arrests, and it was taking a toll. And she said, I come from a family of freedom fighters in India. And so I am very political and I have been through a lot and my family has been through a lot, which was really interesting to hear. And she said, nothing is wrong with you. You just need to take care of your mental health. And that was a wake-up call because I have a fairly young friend who had a stroke recently, and a lot of people are just so affected by what is happening in our backyards, in this country, and around the globe, and it is having a major effect. And so I stopped watching the videos nonstop. I stopped reading the news nonstop. I took a breath and I realized I needed to take better care of myself. And I have not been dizzy since then. So I wanted to talk about that because I really want to do a show about stress and how to stay informed. And, you know, we all care about so many different issues, how to do that, but not how to do it without hurting yourself in the process. And I think it's really important to talk about that, especially from those of us who care so deeply about such a wide range of issues, and those of us who do watch the news, read the news, listen to the news on a regular basis, and know that we have to give ourselves a break, and it's okay to say that. So I'd also love to hear your thoughts on that, because it's something I've been thinking about. We cannot cover these hardcore stories day after day after day. We will cover them, but not 5 days a week. I just can't do it anymore, I'll be honest. And I'd love to hear what you're thinking. I want to spend more time talking about, you know, universal childcare in New Mexico. How did they do it? What will it take to get that in other states? What happens when we see tuition-free college? What message does that send to young people and families who cannot afford college? There's just so much out there that is happening, and we need to spend more time on that. Community groups doing really good work. I want to read you a couple of ideas and shows that we're actually going to do in the coming weeks. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to continue doing our authoritarian playbook show. Yesterday, we had artists on. In the coming weeks, we're going to be speaking with librarians who are organizing and fighting back, teachers, writers. There's so many people doing incredible work. And then it's been a year since I lost my dad, and I was thinking, what can I do to honor my dad? Well, my dad was on the board of an incredible organization called the Miracle League, and this is an organization that allows children with disabilities, it gives them the opportunity to play baseball. So many kids with disabilities want to play baseball, but in many cases, they can't join their baseball league, and so that's where the Miracle League steps in and provides kids with disabilities this opportunity. And my dad loved this organization. He was on the board. He was a volunteer. He was a coach. And so next Thursday, we're going to do a show about resources available for kids with disabilities. We're going to talk with activists at the national and local level about what keeps them going. We're going to have Erin Fountain on, who wrote a book called High School Students Unite: Teen Activism, Education Reform, and FBI Surveillance in Postwar America. So this is the kind of thing that we want to do more of, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are. Where are you right now? How are you dealing with all of the news about ICE shooting and killing Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis yesterday? And I was just reading about how officials in Minnesota say that they're being blocked from investigating the shooting. The FBI is taking over. And the mayor, Jacob Frey, said, get the F out of Minneapolis. So there's that story. There's the story of Trump telling oil executives about plans to capture Nicolas Maduro. He said, nope, didn't tell Democrats, but I did tell oil executives about this. The New York Times reports that Trump says oversight of Venezuela could last for years. So this is where we are right now on January 8th. And I wanted to open the lines to get your take on what you want from our show. There's so much happening so quickly, but like you, we need a break from the intense news on a daily basis. And that is why we really want to focus on more positive things happening in our communities. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And again, from the individual level of needing to take care of ourselves to needing to take care of our families, our loved ones, and our communities. I shared the story of being dizzy because I'm sure maybe you have felt kind of out of it and dizzy over the last year, because all of this is just so incredibly intense. From seeing people suffering on our streets, I was thinking about all of the rain that we had, and where did people go who are on the streets? Do they have resources to stay dry and warm? There's just a lot happening right now, and I'm wondering where you're at, what you're thinking, what you want from a show like Your Call, where we actually have the resources and the ability to go deep on an issue, to spend 1 hour on an issue. That's not very common anymore, unfortunately. There are other shows that do it, and we're so glad that they're out there, but it's rare to have 1 hour to talk about a topic, to go deep, and to bring on a wide range of voices. So given that, we would love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. What other health shows would you like to hear? We just got an email from a listener who said, my healthcare premiums are about to triple, and I have no idea how I'm going to keep my health insurance. Can you please do a show about resources that are out there? And yes, I've been thinking a lot about that idea, because I'm seeing on social media that a lot of people are saying, there's no way I can keep my health insurance. What am I going to do for my children? And I was thinking, gosh, what can we do? What other resources are out there? I have a friend who works at an urgent care clinic. And it's really interesting because she said some of the doctors will take Medicaid and some don't. But they're trying really hard to fill the gap. A lot of people have that virus that's going around right now. And so many people are coming in sick. And she said it's really, really hard to keep up. People who do not have insurance are going to urgent care, but people who have insurance are going to urgent care because the system is so, it's basically bursting at the seams, and they can't get an appointment with their primary care doc. So any ideas you have about healthcare, given that premiums are skyrocketing, we'd also love to hear from you. We have a number of people on the line, so let's go to callers, and then we'll also take your emails. Let's hear from Graham in Oakland. Hi, Graham. Happy New Year, and thank you for calling in.
Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. What I wanted to say is that the positive results that we saw in the New York City mayoral election, that movement gained momentum around an issue which was called the Build Public Renewables Act when Mamdani was a state legislator in New York State. So that's my point is these ideas and these successes that happen on a local level are replicatable. And there are a number of people from Mamdani's campaign and the movement that emerged around him in the New York State Assembly and then in the New York City mayor's race. There are a number of people who were involved in that who are now talking on podcasts and getting on shows like yours and helping people understand the method for building community power and building community political movements that can surmount the massive amount of money coming in from the other side and build the local momentum to get good people into office. And everything that you were just talking about will be greatly aided by getting people in office on a local level. So there's a lot to be said about this, but I think it's going to be an ongoing conversation, but you should definitely do shows around this throughout the year. And it's it'll be woven into everything else you're talking about throughout the year, the ideas of how to build progressive political power based on the positive results that came out of the New York City mayoral campaign. And I could go into detail right now about it, but I won't. I'll just say that I strongly believe that everything positive that happened showed us a recipe for having success and getting better people elected at the local level and then at the national level also.
Graham, thank you so much for the call. And we'll definitely look into the Build Public Renewables Act. This is a landmark New York State law passed in 2023 that allows the state to build, own, and operate renewable energy projects like wind and solar, aiming for 70% renewables by 2030, 100% by 2040. That is so important. In fact, on Monday, we're going to open the lines to get your ideas about the environment, the climate crisis, the planet. We want to do a separate show on that because it really deserves its own show. So if you have any ideas around climate shows and energy, plastic pollution, there's so much. We would love for you to call in on Monday. And your idea about Mamdani, we are going to do a show about Mamdani's victory in the coming weeks. There's a new book out called Run, Zoran, Run by Theodore Ham. We're going to have him on, and I really hope we're trying to find a couple of activists. When Mamdani decided to run in the very beginning stages, when I think his name recognition was 1%, he went to Queens and he talked to people of color who voted for Trump. And so many of those people voted for him. And then he also interviewed people who have really never voted because they feel like the system is so corrupt, but they did vote for him. So we're trying to find a few of those voters, either the Trump voters who voted for Mamdani or people who have never voted before and voted for Mamdani. And we're going to be doing that show in the coming week. So thank you so much for the call, Graham. We will definitely do more shows about these issues. And we'll look at what's happening in other cities. In Seattle, they have a Democratic Socialist for a mayor. It'd be interesting to learn more about her and young people running and, you know, people who are just not the typical, quote, politician who do not have a lot of money behind them. I think those are great ideas. Thank you, Graham. Let's go next to Lisa in San Francisco. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I really love your show, and I hope you continue to do what you're doing.
Thank you.
I would love to see more shows about what's happening also in other countries that could serve as examples. You know, for example, Cuba, which is now being directly threatened by Marco Rubio. Cuba has been sending doctors all over the world, including also teaching poor U.S. doctor, U.S. students to medicine and for free. With only one request, to go back to their communities and serve their communities in the United States. And not only have they been providing doctors all over the world, but they provide healthcare. This is despite more than a 60-year crippling economic blockade, which has left Cuba with very, very, very poor resources. But despite that, they've been able to provide free health care as well as free education, postgraduate as well. And despite all of these things, they usually during hurricane seasons don't lose hardly anybody to hurricanes because they protect their people. This is what's called actually caring for your people. And there's also many other countries that are providing support for single mothers, such as Claudia Sheinbaum's in Mexico, with very few resources. But what happens is we need to have the will to do that.
Right.
And I'd like to also mention that on January 31st, there's going to be a national, it's part of the national campaign for single payer, because it's the deadline for when the subsidy. And that's going to be at Harry Bridges Plaza at 12 noon. We have to fight for single payer. And I'm looking forward to the fight. That's, for me, it's positive because if people are beginning to realize that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are out for our interests. We have to defend ourselves.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And we're definitely going to have on single payer doctors to talk about what it will take to get there. I have to say, I love what you said, caring for your people, because this is not about loving Democrats or hating all Republicans at all. That's not what this is about. It's so interesting when we bring up objective journalism, especially on this show. You know, I don't have a problem saying we're not caring for our people. it's not happening, and we can do so much better. And for me, that's why I do this work. It doesn't make sense to me that we live in a city, and when you think about the Bay Area, so much obscene money. I mean, I look at the business pages, $75 million homes are being bought in Pacific Heights, and yet more and more bodies on the streets. It's just not right. So I love this idea, caring for our people. And that's why we're so passionate about this work. And that's why I don't like the labels. And I really would like to just move into the new year by talking about what can we do so people are cared for, so people have their basic needs met. I don't think that's asking too much in a country with so much obscene wealth. And so that's why we'd like to do more of these shows. How is it, I just looked this up, that 43 countries in the world offer free or universal health care to at least 90% of citizens, but not in this country? And we know it's because of lobbying and big pharma and big insurance. We know that. And so what can we do to get around that? Even in a state like California, we can't seem to get universal health care. Why? We're going to bring on the doctors and the people who are really working on these issues. And yes, we can debate what that looks like. Of course, there's a lot of debate to be had about how we get to these places where we don't have people living on the streets. But the bar is really low at this point. And so that's why we really want to focus more on who's doing good work. Where are we finding victories? Otherwise, I don't think this is sustainable. And so we would love to hear your ideas about what you want from the show, how we, obviously we're still going to cover ICE and what's happening in Venezuela, but there are different ways to do it. So, and also if everyone else is covering it and we don't think we can add anything, then we won't. So given that, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And thank you again, Lisa. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we are opening the lines. We really want to shift from the everyday intense and dark shows to shows that really focus on people doing good work, people making change, what is happening in other places around the globe or around the country where people are actually getting it right. Let's go to our next caller, Minerva in San Francisco. Hi, Minerva. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks. And first, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
That sounds like a distressing situation.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that I love your point about the heaviness that we're all living in and how important it is that we all have our own health-supporting toolbox, in a sense, to care for ourselves. And that might look different for all of us.
Right.
And I'm glad that as part of that, you're focusing on covering and discussing topics that might be more encouraging and that can promote constructive action. What I specifically wanted to suggest was covering what I think of as personal or digital dignity. Mm-hmm. So some of the better and more creative options and alternatives for supporting people's privacy and digital accessibility online. So with AI, with LLM, I think some of the basic dignities that we all need can also feel under attack, and I think it could be a constructive conversation looking at what are the possibilities for promoting and supporting constructive action around privacy and accessibility.
Can you elaborate on this? I love this idea of digital dignity. What do you mean by that exactly?
What I mean is how we demonstrate for people respect of their basic rights as humans. So sometimes you'll hear people counter privacy and say, I have nothing to hide, so I don't need privacy. But we don't say that if someone's closing the door to their home or going into a restroom. We recognize that there's an element of dignity, a right to be unseen. And so even if you think of what's happening, for instance, right now on X, that's a violation of people's dignity. And there's one way that we could focus on bad, bad, bad. What's happening is very alarming, distressing, inappropriate. But there's another side of it, which is what more could we be doing? And could tech companies do? Could creators at an individual level? How do we respect people's rights to basic dignity in their online interactions and exchanges? And specifically on the accessibility side, if roughly 17% of the global population has a disability, how are we recognizing and caring for that and providing access online? So the European Accessibility Act might be one example of something that's like a recent change. But where do we have more opportunities to incorporate and counter some of the heaviness and some of the exploitation that we see online? An assertion of dignity.
Thank you so much, Minerva. I love this idea. If you have any guest ideas, please email us yourcall@kalw.org. And I'm finding that it's hard for people to even get an appointment nowadays without being online. And a lot of older people don't really know how to deal with it. My mom calls me on a regular basis. I can't get this in, or my password's not working. And it's just, it's hard for her to make a phone call to make an appointment nowadays. So that's really, really tough. So I'd love to do more shows about elders and what it will take to ensure that there are options. I remember when San Francisco decided to step up when the Trump administration was not releasing SNAP dollars. And there were a lot of questions around how to get those dollars if you're not online, if you don't have a smartphone. So that's important. And then I'm so glad you called in because you reminded me of something I wanted to do. I'm reading right now from ABC7. California's DROP program is now active, giving Californians the ability to stop data brokers from selling their personal information. So DROP stands for Delete Request and Opt Out Platform. It's a one-stop site to submit a data deletion request, requiring brokers to delete your information. More than 500 data brokers will be asked to delete your info. So here's the website. It's privacy.ca.gov, and you can opt out of all of these brokers that have all of our personal info. So this is another thing I want to do, because it's so hard to keep track of this kind of information, is maybe every couple months we open the lines and say, what's going on out there that we need to know about? So again, this is privacy.ca.gov. That's how you can protect your information. And I'm looking to see if there's a phone number in case you're not online. Yes. Okay. So here's a phone number. And I'll repeat this later in the show. It's 916-572-2900. And you're contacting the California Privacy Protection Agency. There's a new law on the books that says we in California have the right to opt out of 500 data broker resources. So we basically will opt out of, they have to get rid of all of our private information. Again, the number is 916-572-2900. And the website is privacy.ca.gov. So thank you so much for calling in. We definitely need to do more shows about this. Today on Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out what you want to hear on Your Call. We are going to do our best to focus on more positive shows, people doing good work in their communities, and people really working for change on such a range of issues: poverty, the homeless crisis, people living in their cars, people who cannot make ends meet. We really want to talk about solutions to these issues. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are opening the lines to find out what you want to hear on the show in the coming months, and we will do our best to really focus on more positive shows about what's happening in our backyard, across the country, and around the globe. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We have so many amazing emails, but let's go through a few more callers, and then I will be sure to read all of these emails. Oh, and one more thing about digital dignity. I wanted to do a show about this last year, but we ran out of time. There are so many scams happening right now. So be sure not to click on certain things. Just be sure to be aware of this. And if you have older people in your life, let them know, because the scammers are getting really good. The latest one I'm finding is that UPS tried to drop off a package and I didn't answer the door, and so I need to click on a link. And it looks so legitimate. I mean, these emails and these texts look so legit. But just beware, because I've been reading really awful stories about people losing their savings, older people losing their savings. So beware of that. And then, of course, there are a lot of those AI scams. My mom watches this soap opera, and this one guy on the soap opera that a lot of people like, someone figured out how to use a video of him online, and he reached out to women saying he fell in love with them, and they gave him, well, whoever this was, their money. So there's all these crazy scams happening right now. So just beware of that, and then let the older people in your life know about them, and maybe we'll do a show about how to protect ourselves in the future. Let's go to another caller, Samuel in San Francisco. Hi, Samuel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning,
Good
Rose.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. So, the Project 2025 and crypto fascism, and yesterday on Fresh Air, they were talking about the rise of fascism in this country, and they mentioned the murder of a gay Jewish guy in Orange County, and I'm feeling fearful as I've already been seriously wondering, so should minorities, especially double minorities, try to migrate to another country or maybe to American Samoa? Yeah. And then what resources might be available to us? I just feel so terrible. I'm exploring career in creative writing, and most of my stories have an LGBT hero, and now I have to really think twice before I want to have them published or produced into a play or movie, for example. It's just distressing, to say the least.
Samuel. Samuel, what kinds of shows can we do to support you and others who are living in fear right now?
Maybe find a foreign diplomat or embassy staff to who might be able to advise us, or immigration lawyers from other countries who may be able to advise us or support us. Maybe they have a show with a congresswoman who represents American Samoa. She's a Republican, though, as far as I know. If she may be able to help some of us minorities. I'm seriously trying to migrate to another country, or maybe American Samoa. Yeah, I'm an American citizen, but I'd love to leave this country soon.
Wow.
I'm a senior citizen too, so I don't have many time. I don't have a lot of decades left, or. Or to risk facing possibly a second civil war. I'm just too unnerved to stay in this country much longer.
Oh, that makes me so sad, Samuel, because your project sounds amazing. And we don't want you to leave, but I completely understand what you're saying about just being in fear on a regular basis. Samuel, would you mind giving Kevin your phone number? Because I think this is a really important show, is to open the lines around safety. A lot of people do not feel safe right now. And I think it's good to know that there are others out there and people can talk to one another. And so maybe if you'd like to be on the show or share a little bit more about your story, we would really appreciate that if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely, Rose.
Okay, great. Well, we're thinking of you, Samuel. I think we really need to do a show about you and others who just don't feel safe right now for so many reasons. And if you can give Kevin your phone number, we'll be in touch.
Great. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Samuel. Thank you so much for calling in. That just makes me so sad. If anyone has ideas about creating a space where people can talk about not feeling safe because they're LGBTQ or because they're brown or black or just they just feel like they're going to be targeted. It's a really intense time because Trump has given people the okay to say horrific things, to be openly racist. And it's also happening in our schools. I was just reading about, you know, kids saying racist things in schools. So I would love to do a show with people who can talk about how we deal with that. And at least let people like Samuel know that he's not alone. So if you have any ideas, please give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. I'll just read a couple of emails while Kevin is talking to Samuel. Judith writes, yes, Mom Donnie, social housing projects, Hunters Point projects against the pollution. I am a product of Free College, New York City City University for a long time until the 70s. So many advantages in my life because of it, including a richness inside my mind. City College in San Francisco was free once too. Thank you so much, Judy. I've seen a couple of articles in the last couple of years about what happens when colleges become tuition free, and it opens up so many doors. And I think that's really important for people who want to go to college. So thank you, Judy. Al writes, I've had a hard time listening to this show for quite a while because of the dark subjects. It's too much for anyone, especially those who have to intake all of the negativity to run a show. Some of your ideas sound great. Maybe shows on people working together to solve problems, stories about younger generations and how they're navigating this world or striving for positive change. If the stories lean negative, maybe add ways to solve the issues or move forward positively. That's exactly what we are hoping to do, Al, and thank you so much for writing in. Steve writes, I'd like to stuff the ballot box and vote a bunch of yeses for your ideas of shifting to a positive orientation. It's the first time you've made me smile, and I can't remember how long. After all, you have a choice of whether to be at war or find a different paradigm. I hope this commitment to giving more coverage to the positive, constructive, improvement-pursuing side of humanity helps your personal situation. Thank you for sharing that. I believe covering what our best selves are doing will spark the positive creativity of the many thousands who listen to your show. Thank you so much, Stephen, and we hope you're having a good day in Seattle, and we'd love to do a show about your new mayor. So if you have any guest ideas, please email your call at kalw.org. Ruby writes, I know how difficult your job is day after day covering horrendous news. You and your production team do an excellent job in getting the real facts out many times through your high knowledgeable guests. Thank you. I want to give a shout out to Malihe Razazan, who has been with the show for many, many years. And she does really an incredible job, not just doing the Mondays and the Fridays, but she's got such a great... She's a news junkie like me and also needs to take a step back and breathe. But she also brings really incredible people to every day of this show. And then Nina Kissinger has been doing a really great job. She's a fairly new producer. And I told her it's pretty intense, but this year we are going to try to breathe a little more and do more positive shows. So huge shout out to Malihe and Nina and Kevin Vance, who is our studio engineer and so much more. So thank you to Malihe, Nina, and Kevin. And thank you for that, Ruby. Ruby also says, I don't want to open a wound, but I would like guests who would speak to what is being done to counter the creature at the tip of our present DC iceberg. Who can stop him? Well, that's a question, Ruby, because he's breaking so many laws and he's just saying, let the courts deal with it either now or in a couple years. And the Supreme Court has given him so much power. The New York Times just reported that the Senate has advanced a measure to rein in Trump's use of force in Venezuela. They narrowly agreed to vote on this resolution that would require Trump to seek congressional authorization for continued military operations in Venezuela. So there's that. Ruby also says the volunteer multipliers who present candidates through Zoom meetings and collect funds for use in their campaigns. We are always so proud when one of our people is elected. I'd like to see more time spent on possible antidotes to what we have now. Thank you so much, Ruby. Thank you for all of your great ideas. And we will definitely write those down. Let's go back to our phones. We have so many people waiting on the line. Let's go to Anonymous in Berkeley. Hi, welcome to the show. Is Anonymous there still, who wanted to talk about mental health issues? Okay. Well, we will definitely continue to do shows about mental health. I would like to do a show about stress because just depending on what issues you really care about, for some of us, just seeing so much suffering on the street is painful. And then you've got your own issues and you've got family issues. And so how do we deal with that stress and be sure that it doesn't make us sick? And so we definitely want to focus on a lot of mental health issues this year. So thank you for that suggestion. Let's go to Amy in Berkeley. Hi, Amy. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for this opportunity and also for doing your show all these years. Excuse me, morning voice. So I really appreciate all of these calls and also for you being open about feeling dizzy or your head, you know, what was going on with your head, because I've been experiencing the same thing. So it's kind of relieving to be in community and hear you talking mm-hmm. about that. The thing I wanted to bring up or as a suggestion for a show is being a intimate partner, spousal caregiver for somebody with a cognitive decline, dementia. Mm-hmm. And it's, really, I've heard a number of shows on being, you know, family caregivers of people with dementia, and almost always their children, grandchildren, other people. And there's, I think it, those of us, the majority of us who it really impacts, and there are so many millions of us in the country on any given day, are spouses. And it's so different because it's full-time and it's full-time caregiving on top of also your primary relationship melting away day by day mm-hmm. and changing. And it's so different. And also a lot of community supports are disappearing. There used to be a Monday through Friday, like early morning till 5:30 Alzheimer's Day Center in Berkeley that closed down a year ago.
Oh, wow.
It was a wonderful place. I used to take my grandfather there when he lived with us when I was working full-time just to give my husband and I respite. And I always thought that would be there for us if we ever needed it, and it's gone now. And it's so different. I was just taking a lot of notes. It's, you know, when people have kids, there's a lot of little kids in our family. People are lined up to help parents, whether it's giving them respite, doing things. Just when people have cognitive decline, a lot of people in our lives have melted away. Mm. Some come in and a lot melt away. And sometimes the people melt away is really surprising and painful. But the other thing is there's a lot of focus also on the person with the cognitive decline. And us caregivers, I was looking this up, there's a huge percentage of us who die before our partner does for stress-related illnesses mm-hmm. That did not pre-exist. And it's just a lot. I'm holding back tears as I'm talking about this. And then also, the other thing is, it's not it's not all a nightmare either. Mm. There's a lot of beauty that can happen. It's been, for me, many years, and my journey's been kind of unusual because my husband had a coexisting brain condition for which he had brain surgery and made a total recovery from being totally gone. So we had a few extra years, and I learned how to, I got a do-over, which is amazing. But you can hear the laughter in my voice, and there's so much to explore about this. I would love a whole show focused, no disrespect and all gratitude toward other family members, but really focused on the intimate partners and what it's like for us.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much for calling in. I think this is such an important topic. Thank you for sharing your personal story. And I just want to share with you, after my dad passed, hospice has, they have these events. It's like an hour where you can come and talk about what you've been dealing with. And I thought, you know, it might be too soon, but I'm going to try. And it was really, really hard because the room was full of women who've lost their husbands. And they were young. And it really affected me. I don't know. Of course that this happens, but it's not something I've spent that much time thinking about. And it was heartbreaking because they just talked about how they're dealing with their young kids and the day-to-day and finances. And I'll never, ever, ever forget that experience. I don't know what it was about that 1 o'clock session on a Thursday that brought out so many young women. They were mostly in their 50s who lost their husbands. And I just felt like it was heavy. And you're right. We don't really talk much about that. So I think this is such an important topic to focus more on caregiving, dementia, but then to break that down and really focus on people who are dealing with caring for spouses, because we're talking about the sandwich generation, children and parents, but we hardly talk about spouses. So
thank you for sharing and thank you for calling in. Sure. Yeah. And I'd be, Kevin knows me and actually knows my husband very well. From, I think Kevin knew my husband before I met him 45 years ago or close to. So, we're also available if you end up doing a show about this.
In fact, I became a researcher about it.
So,
okay, please, if you could give Kevin your number, we would love to have you on to talk about the importance of this. And just given that a lot of places are shutting down, we also really need to do a show about resources that are still available. So thank you so much, Amy. And we'll be thinking about you. If you can give Kevin your phone number. And while they're doing that, I will read a couple more emails. Today, we're opening the lines to get your ideas for shows in the coming months. In addition to covering what happened and with ICE shooting, I want to make sure and say her name, Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis yesterday, Trump telling oil execs about plans to capture Nicolas Maduro. We're going to continue covering that if there's something we can add, but we also really want to focus on people doing good work in their communities. So if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Trish in Richmond writes, I'm thrilled at your new focus on positive stories. This is important for all of our mental health, knowing that ordinary people are doing good things to build community and fight the bad things going on helps us fight hopelessness. This is essential to keeping people engaged and gives us courage. Yes, thank you so much, Trish. I think you've written before about wanting us to do more positive shows, so we really appreciate your ideas and your email. Thank you. Carol writes, I'm not sure if you've already interviewed Leah Hunt Hendricks or Astra Taylor about their book that came out 2 years ago, Solidarity, The Past, Present, and Future of a World-Changing Idea, but their book is really important for today. It speaks about how those in power seek to divide us, which those currently in power have done so successfully, leading us to this terrible moment in our country. Having those authors on to speak about how we can move beyond divisions would be very helpful. Thank you, as always. Well, thank you so much, Carol. We will look into that, and we would love to have them on the show. Sandy writes, I heard that medical school students are taking cooking classes known as culinary medicine to learn healthy cooking skills for their own health and to better counsel patients on diet-related diseases with programs at schools like UCLA and Stanford. My wife was an internist, geriatrician, and could have benefited from such training in her medical school. Yes, this is a great idea, Sandy. When we did a show on Tuesday about the benefits of adding more plant-based foods to your diet, we briefly mentioned this. The PBS NewsHour has a segment about young medical students who are learning how to cook, and then they will be able to talk with their patients about what they eat, because right now it's so rare for a doctor to say, well, what do you eat? Do you know how to cook? So that's great. And we'll have some of those students on. That's a really great idea. Thank you, Sandy. Kevin writes, please invite 37-year-old social democrat, progressive podcaster, and media host Kyle Kalinske to the show. He's co-founder of Justice Democrats, a progressive political action committee founded on the principles that candidates it endorses must refuse donations from corporate PACs. Thank you so much, Kevin. Justice Democrats, we're familiar with them, and we should look into the work that they're doing right now. Maybe rather than talk about all the billions that people are taking, we should talk about those who are refusing to take money. So thank you so much for that idea. Eddie writes, Chickenhead Ed, I love your show, a program about improving civics in our public schools. Ah, I love that idea. Yes. I would love to do a show about what kids are learning today and what they would like to learn and what is stopping schools from maybe offering civics programs. This is a great idea. We will definitely do something about this. Thank you. Vicky writes, you and your crew are unique and outstanding journalism. I want you to podcast your show sometimes. Well, thank you, Vicky. We actually do podcast the show, and we do a really bad job of promoting it, I'll be honest. It's out there. You can podcast it on any platform, but we hardly talk about it, and we don't really market it. And we've got to figure out how to change that. I mean, we're still pretty darn small, I will have to say. We have a tiny, tiny staff at this show. So it's hard to get these things out, but we would love to because we do podcast it. Just people don't know about it. So thank you. Vicky writes, what you do that is unique is focus on solutions, what people are doing, what people can do. I don't want to miss your insights into the daily horrors. No, don't stop, but please continue reporting on what we need to do about it as well. Yes, I hear you. And the thing is, we have to find the balance. And that is what we are hoping to do in the days and weeks to come. Let's see. Jesse writes, if I hear the phrase unprecedented times one more time. Yeah, I know what you mean, Jesse. Jess, I'm trying even not to say that anymore. I think a lot of us listen to the doom and gloom because we trust the sources at KALW and NPR, which does put a lot on your plate. Maybe giving more reliable news outlets and links to other shows to get that type of info out while you report on what we're doing locally to combat it. I know a lot of us older generations are feeling particularly hopeless, like this is a young person's game. Outside of writing letters and sending emails, there doesn't seem like much else we can do. Just having links to more outlets for more information and local resources could be great. Thank you so much, Jess, and we will definitely do our best to do that and share more. Let's hear from a few more callers, and we're almost out of time. Let's go to John in Berkeley. Hi, John. Thanks for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you very much for taking my call. What would be really good for my own mental health and probably a lot of other people is to have some sort of a formal discussion of how people like me who are Democrats can understand where and how we can move the Democratic Party to understand what it is, what the pain points of the Republican Party are, and the people who have put us in this position, who actually voted us into this situation, how we can come to some sort of what my very Republican brother calls the mushy middle. Mm. But that's where we need to be. And for my own personal mental health, I need to know what to do. Mm-hmm. How I can do it. I don't think going to a Democratic Party meeting is going to help me at all, because I have a funny feeling it's not going to help my mental health. Mm-hmm. Being a Republican and going to a Republican Party meeting is not going to help my mental health. having some direction or knowing what direction people can go to actually make a difference with the party movements would be very helpful for me and my own personal mental health, and I think a lot of other people too.
Yeah.
It's not a feel-good thing, but it's definitely a thing that I would like to see and know.
Thank you so much, John. And it is feel-good in that people want to know what to do. So I think that's important. Going beyond call your congressperson or write a letter, what can you do that actually makes a difference? So if you have any ideas for guests at the local level, the state level, national, we'd love to hear from you. Do you want us to have more politicians on who might be new or are actually getting things done to talk about what actually works? That would be great. And you can email yourcall@kalw.org. Thank you so much, John. Let's hear next from Joan in Berkeley. Hi, Joan. Thank you for holding.
Hi, on the positive side, there are three different programs, each of which is doing wonderful things in the Bay Area. One of them is the Street Spirit, the newspaper. Very few of us who buy it, just to give the guy a couple dollars, look into it. But if you bother to look into it, there's some really interesting stuff, including art as well. That's one, and it would be interesting to hear about how they produce it, who it is who produces it, and I just think there's a lot more to learn about these street newspapers.
I love that.
And the other one is an amazing woman in the Bay Area named Gloria Simoneau, who started Drawbridge, a program for homeless kids to be doing art at various shelters. She started out at UCSF doing art projects with children being diagnosed for cancer. And then she has been in San Francisco, had been, and started way back in the 80s. And now she has two projects, one in Nairobi, another one in Nepal. In Nairobi, it started out with the poorest of the poor children, setting up art projects for them.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we have to end. I'm going over right now. I love these ideas. We will definitely do shows about Street Spirit, and then I love doing a show also about Drawbridge. So thank you so much for those recommendations. I wrote all of this down, and thank you all so much for your ideas. And email us at any time, yourcall@kalw.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.